Chapter 12. Wild and Sweet.
Wild and sweet was the comment of a Trappist friend who read the Rule of St. Clair for the first time. The Rule of St. Clair is so demanding precisely because it is so simple. What she and St. Francis desired solely was the closest possible union with God by the closest possible imitation of the God-man. Nothing, then, could be more logical than to take his gospel as their form of life. Christ said that he is the way, and Francis and Claire meant to follow him quite literally. They believed everything Christ said because he is the truth, and they were incapable of those glosses at which lesser souls are so adept. In her profoundly moving testament, our foundress calmly urges her daughters to love, one, herself, two, their own souls, and three, the other sisters. A bit shocking to find the Holy Foundress placing herself before the souls of her daughters? No, it is only another instance of her wisdom. Poor Clares, who love their mother St. Clair as they should, will also love their own souls as they should. If their love for St. Clair and her way of life falters, at that same moment, their love for their own souls becomes faulty and questionable. And then there is no possibility of a genuine fraternal charity, since no one can love another richly and warmly if she does not love her own soul aright. Harshness is the thing farthest removed from the Rule of St. Clair, for she wrote as she lived, by the gospel. Because she loved the Christ, who had compassion on the multitude and would not send them away hungry, lest they faint in the way, St. Clair wrote in her rule concerning the fast, "The abbess may charitably dispense as regards the young and the weak." A young friar once awakened St. Francis in the night with a cry, "I'm starving." And the Blessed Father rose and prepared food and ate with the weak one. He gave the young friar food out of time because he was a prudent superior and a loving father. However real the material poverty in the new foundation like ours, its mortifications only draw us closer to the poor man of the gospel, who sometimes had not whereon to lay his sacred head. We know that God sends us what we need, and thus we can never need anything but what he sends. No man was ever so exquisitely modeled for suffering and for joy as the man God. Because his sacred body was utterly perfect, he experienced the perfection of fatigue and hunger. Because no other mind ever reached the outposts of his divine intelligence, the stupidities and cruelties of men beat against his consciousness. And because his sacred heart held an infinite capacity for love, he vibrated to all forms of suffering like an incredibly perfect tuning fork. Christ's human heart also vibrated with perfect delicacy to all forms of human joy. This utter tenderness is part of the Franciscan genius. It is what makes penance and sacrifice so attractive, for our hearts want to encompass all the sorrow and misery of the universe. We desire to make up in our bodies those things that are wanting in the sufferings of Christ, to unstop the sin-corked heart of the world so that his saving blessings can flow in. With this tender love of men comes a tender respect for all creatures favored by God with the miracle of life. Our Holy Father Francis loved small creatures because their life was from God and spoke of divine goodness. And the animals responded to this marvelous love by forgetting their timidity or enmity with man and remembering the days in Eden. God's first plans for the fellowship of men and beasts seem to fall back into their original lines when Saint Francis walked the earth. To anyone who thinks that the gospel cannot be taken quite literally today, I can only borrow our Lord's words to Saint Andrew. Come and see. Wild and sweet our gospel rule of life may be, it is still the ancient rule, which will always be completely modern. Our Lord told Marjorie Kempe, the anchoress of Lynn, that her enclosed life of union with him gave him the greatest satisfaction and gave her as great a right to be merry as any lady in the world. Poor Claire's too live enclosed with him and for him. His gospel is our rule of life, and at the end of life, he will be there. Perhaps he will not send his Immaculate Mother and a company of virgins to escort us to heaven, as he did when our Holy Mother Saint Clare came to die. But we trust to find his arms open for even the least of her daughters. So we do penance and chant our office and lose ourselves in the obscurity of a little cloister, and we are as merry as any ladies could ever be.